Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Buck Stops Here. In just a few days from now, we will have the first anniversary of the surgical strike on terror targets in Pakistan-occupied Kashmir, one of the most audacious military operations carried out by the Indian Armed Forces. The surgical strikes took place after the Uri terror attack of the 18th of September last year, in which 19 Indian soldiers were killed. That was described as the deadliest attack on security forces in Kashmir in two decades. Joining us now for this exclusive interview, the man who commanded the Northern Command of the Indian Army during the surgical strike, Lieutenant General D.S. Hooda. It was General Hooda who called in the attack. He was the man who planned it. And it's wonderful that we can speak to the general today. Thank you very much, sir, for speaking to us. At what stage, sir, did it appear that a military option was the one that the government was going to take?
You see, Vishnu, I think the tipping point was the Uri attack. We'd had a large number of casualties. And I think very quickly, you know, the government, the army came to a decision. Various options were discussed. Now, I'm not at liberty to talk about them. But fairly quickly after the Uri attack, it was decided that, we have to send a strong message. And the way to do it is, multiple cross-border strikes into Pakistan.
General, did you plan the attacks? You obviously needed the order from the Prime Minister's office, from the National Security Advisor. But was the plan a plan that you oversaw and you actually formed?
Yeah, the orders came to me from the chief, from General Dalbir Singh. We had got in the command headquarters almost complete freedom to plan the operation. In fact, not only at our level planning, but the nuts and bolts, the detailed planning was actually done by the two commanding officers, because that's the way to go. I mean, very difficult to, micromanage or execute a plan at the highest level. So yes, the orders came to us from the top. The go-ahead came to us from the top. But the detailed planning, etc., was done at the command headquarters and below.
General, just describe to us, and there are many aspects of this which we'll get into in this interview, the moments before the attack took place, as the senior general commanding the entire Northern Command, you would have been a very nervous man. Or were you not nervous? Were you confident of the fact that we were going to go in and we were going to win in Pakistan-occupied Kashmir? What was going through your own mind after having planned this in as close a detail as you had?
See, we were confident of the overall success of the operations. But I'll be less than honest if I tell you that the night that the attack was to go in, we were not a little nervous. We were acutely conscious of the fact that, next morning, people of India would wake up and hear about what the Indian Army had done, for good or for bad, because the government had taken a decision that they would go public. So therefore, these thoughts did cross our mind that, some things could go as unplanned. There's a very famous saying which says, no battle plan survives contact with the enemy. And therefore, people on ground had to make bits and pieces changes based on what they saw on ground. But largely, things went broadly as planned. I think it is credit to all the people who took part in the operation. The night that the operation was going on, there was a little bit of nervousness, yeah.
General, that's an important detail. I don't think anybody has shared so far that there were the plans and then there was an element of improvisation that took place when the soldiers went in. What exactly was that improvisation? What is it that our soldiers on the ground in POK saw when they realized that they needed to amend the plan slightly?
See, we can do, I can't go into details of the operational planning and what happened and how plans were executed on ground. But obviously, whatever detailed intelligence you have about the target area, the fact is when you go inside, when you eyeball it, you see it for some time, and you see, some small amendments need to be made. But, you know, it's a part of the planning process. It's a part of the training of special forces and the other soldiers who went in. And they improvised on ground. They did what they had to do. And ultimately, I think the fact that they succeeded was, you know, they were really, really well prepared.
General, you were sitting in Northern Command headquarters and you were actually watching the attacks take place because through drone footage, is that right?
Yeah, we were watching it. I won't say which footage it was, but yes, we were watching the operation.
And what exactly did you see? I mean, was that very representative of the overall battle, or were you actually seeing what individual soldiers were doing? How did this part of it actually become known to you as the operations were actually being conducted?
You see, whatever footage you might get, you know, it actually doesn't give you a very detailed picture of what is happening on ground. You know, you see black figures running here and there now, whether it is our soldiers, whether it is terrorists, you know, it's difficult to make out. But the way things were going, and, you know, we had visualized how, you know, how the attacks on targets would go through. So broadly, we could make out from, you know, from the footage that we were viewing, that largely things were going, you know, as had been planned.
General, now, as it's been reported, that there were two distinct sets of targets. One was south of the Pir Panjal and one was perhaps north of the Pir Panjal. Is that right?
Well, there were multiple targets, Vishnu. Again, I'm sorry, I'm not able to give you too many details.
Sure.
But, you know,
but
I'm
broadly
not at
speaking.
Liberty to divulge the number of targets.
But broadly
but yes,
speaking.
The, but broadly, the strikes were both sides of Pir Panjal. So they were across Jammu region as also across the Kashmir region. And both sides, there were multiple strikes.
Sir, how important was it for us, for India, to not have a single man lost behind enemy lines? How was that a critical part of everything that you trained for?
See, you know, to me it was one measure of success. So one is that, you know, we've gone across, struck some launch pads, we've killed terrorists. But to me the crucial aspect was that everyone must come back. Vishnu, it wasn't so much about, you know, we should not lose a single man or we should not have a casualty. Because it would be foolish if we plan for such a large operation and say, you know, we'll come back without any casualties. So our planning process had to take into account that there could be casualties. I think the key factor was not a single man must be left behind. And that took a lot of thought and a lot of planning. If something happens and we have casualties, how would those people come back? So the key element was not so much the casualties as not leaving a single man behind.
Was there ever a plan, sir, that in the case of casualties or the case of an emergency, that you would have to have deployed helicopters to fly the team back to exfiltrate them?
You know, multiple plans were made that in case there is a fighting extrication, how would it actually be carried out? What assets would be required for such a contingency? Whether in terms of, you know, as you're saying, aerial assets, whether in terms of even sending some more people across to bring our people back. So that kind of planning had been put in process, and we were conscious that, you know, there could be a fighting extrication. After all, Vishnu, the point was, you know, we went in at multiple for multiple targets. They were at varying distances. It had to be struck at different times. The time between the first strike and the last strike was actually in hours, and we knew that the minute the first strike takes place, surprise would be lost, and therefore it could be that the subsequent targets, you know, the people there would be warned of. So all this had been taken into consideration, Vishnu. A fairly comprehensive and detailed plan was actually made for all this.
And sir, part of that plan saw our soldiers actually engage these terrorists at very close ranges. I do know that that fire bases had been established. We've reported this in the past, where at a range these targets were taken on. But there were also soldiers who made almost hand-to-hand contact, or perhaps they did. Could you confirm this, that there was there were actual physical encounters between our soldiers and the Pakistani terrorists or their army handlers?
Yes, there was. There was. So, you know, the special forces had got into places where they were confident that they could take on and cause maximum number of casualties. So they had to get fairly close to, you know, where the camps were. And of course, there were some Pakistani posts also in close vicinity. That also had to be catered for. So, yes, they did. They did get into close combat.
So tell us a little bit about the military leadership at the junior levels. The majors and colonels, of course, colonels are fairly senior, who were actually there on the ground conducting the operations. How were these men incredibly determined and incredibly skilled in what they did?
You know, Vishnu, I think the confidence comes out of, you know, your level of motivation, your level of training, the fact that, you know, they had fairly detailed knowledge of the targets. They were confident of their plans. The young leadership was outstanding. You know, I never saw a hint of nervousness. I interacted with these people, you know, who were to go across. They were all extremely, extremely confident. I think compared to anyone and the best in the world, our SF people are very good. Having said that, you know, if there is a shortfall, I can say, I think it's in their equipment, and that's something we need to take a hard look at, give them a little better equipment. But otherwise, in motivation, confidence, levels of training, individual skills, I think they are better than the best.
General, the exfiltration, particularly of the second group that went in, how much of a challenge was it? I'm told that daylight had come in, and therefore these men could be observed as well, or potentially be observed. The exfiltration came under gunfire. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So, in fact, the most challenging part of the operation, Vishnu, was the exfiltration. We knew, you know, there is an element of surprise when we are going in. And since detailed plans had been made, we were quite confident of, you know, getting to the target areas. As I said, the critical part was the exfiltration, because each target, you know, was at a different distance. It had to be struck at a different time. We were worried that, you know, if surprise would be lost, how quickly would the Pakistani soldiers and their posts react? And you're quite right that the last group which came back on our side of the border, it was literally fairly bright daylight. And so they had to select a proper route. But that was the trickiest part. The exfiltration was the trickiest part, because that's where we thought if, you know, something could go wrong, it would be there.
Tell us a little bit more about the exfiltration, whatever you can. How much fire came the way of these soldiers as they were getting out, the second batch? When you say that it was difficult, it was challenging, there was daylight, what exactly happened? They were seen, they were detected, or was there random fire in that area because there was a sense that they may be there?
See, there was a little bit of panic from the Pakistani side. So, you know, posts which were ahead of the areas which had been struck, those posts, there was a bit of random fire. One group, which was the last one coming back, you know, did get detected. Now, how much, you know, it's very difficult to say, but yes, fire was directed towards them. You know, you've read the accounts of one of the officers.
Yes.
Which has come out, and he talks about sort of exfiltration under fire. So, you know, those things did happen.
And one Jawan was injured. Was it a landmine that went off?
Yeah, so the one Jawan, unfortunately, I'm, you know, once I got the report that everybody is back on our side of the border, and fortunately, you know, the fact that not a single man had suffered a scratch. So we were very happy, and that's the time I left the ops room, and half an hour later I got an information that one Jawan has got injured. It was actually a minefield on our side of the border. A number of minefields there are, you know, not marked, or mines drift. So unfortunately we had one casualty, but that was not due to Pakistani action. That was an accident on our own side.
Was it a very serious? But, was it very serious, sir, the injury?
You know, these are hazards. He suffered injury. Part of the leg was blown off.
All right, General. When you realized that the operation, at what stage did you realize that the operation was a resounding success? Was this radioed into you, or on the basis of what you were seeing, did you realize it along with the senior commanders with you? How did you know it was all over and it was successful?
Vishnu, you know, we were seeing the strikes go in, and then we knew that people had successfully carried out the strike and were returning. But I had in fact said that we should not declare it a success till every man is across the line of control on our side. So frankly, we didn't rejoice at all till reports came in that the last man is across on our side. And that's when we, sort of said, well done, boys.
Tell us about that moment, sir. How did you congratulate the officers and the men? At what stage did you do it? Did you fly in somewhere? Did they come to meet you? What was it like to meet these men who had just participated in this extremely difficult operation, one of the toughest that we've had in decades in the Indian Armed Forces? Just describe to us that moment, sir, when you saw them, sir.
Oh, it was wonderful. I think it was the next day in the evening when we got them, the team leaders basically, the officers who had participated in the operation, they were flown in by helicopter to Dhampur, and we had some happy moments, Vishnu, I can't describe in my house. So.
I'm told that they were very happy moments.
You know, toasted each other, and it was wonderful. It was very happy moments. Vishnu, you know, there are concerns, there are doubts always when, you know, you're planning a complex operation. And so when it all finishes and it went as successfully as it did, I think we were all extremely happy.
Sir, the Prime Minister and the NSA were also monitoring the operations. Did they know about its success the moment you did, or did you actually speak to them and say that it's all over and we've done this, we've won?
No, see, from my side, I had to give the report since, we were dealing with the operation. So I did give the report back to Army Headquarters saying that, the operation is over and it's a success. There is one thing when you are monitoring, the target area. As I said, the criticality was that everyone gets back home safely. And that's when we said, the operation is actually over.
One last question to you, General. Why did we not consider bombing these targets from the air? Perhaps it would have been safer. Why did we feel the need to put our men deliberately in harm's way?
Vishnu, it was, we wanted to send a signal. So, some of it, you can say you could have done it from the air, we could have done it from long range artillery. I think a message had to be sent out, a strong message had to be sent out. Vishnu, if you recall, after the June 2015 strikes across Myanmar,
yes,
a lot of statements had come out from Pakistan. I think their interior minister, also their official spokesperson said, Pakistan is not Myanmar, and we will give a befitting reply if India resorts to any adventurism. That's the kind of statements that they had made. But once the surgical strikes were carried out, they just went totally quiet. And I think, that was more of a moral victory. So the kind of message we wanted to send across, I don't think would have got across with, strikes from far.
One final, last question, General. You were worried about retaliation?
Yes, we were, Vishnu, and why not? You know, it would be unprofessional to say that there would be no retaliation and that we shouldn't plan for it. So we were prepared, we were ready, we had planned for it. But as I said, you know, I think the Pakistanis were quite shell-shocked. And the minute they said surgical strikes haven't happened, we knew that, you know, response from their side would at best be very, very limited.
Well, General Huda, it's a pleasure speaking to you. It's been 1 year, almost a year, since these surgical strikes took place. What a moment it would have been for you as the Northern Army commander at that stage, perhaps the highlight of your career. And it's wonderful to speak to you today to get all of these details. Thank you so much, sir, for speaking to us.
Thank you.